Relations between the US and China have already been strained over China's support for Russia's invasion of Ukraine, but the rhetoric between the two countries is escalating to a new level of hostility. This week, China's new foreign minister, Qin Gong, said the US was on a path towards, quote, conflict and confrontation. His comments came as China holds its annual National People's Congress, which is providing signals about leader Xi Jinping's priorities for the country. NPR international correspondent Emily Feng joins us. She's in Taipei, Taiwan. Hi, Emily.
Hey, Deepa.
Those were sharp words from the new foreign minister. Mm-hmm. And Chinese leader Xi Jinping said the US and its allies are trying to contain China. Why is the rhetoric between the US and China getting tougher right now?
Well, keep in mind this is happening during the week where there are annual political meetings happening in Beijing, and so they're reviewing their achievements over the past year and what they're trying to achieve this year. And if you're speaking from a Chinese perspective, the U.S. has really kind of put its foot on the gas pedal in containing China, to put it bluntly. There have been very, very aggressive export sanctions put on semiconductor components and software to China that have really hurt. Then there was the whole diplomatic fallout over the alleged surveillance balloon that the US accuses China of sending over US airspace. Mm-hmm. So China is in some ways right in saying that the US has been leading some of the biggest problems geopolitically that China's facing right now. It was unusual for Xi Jinping to name check the US, because normally he'll talk about certain countries or hostile foreign forces mm-hmm. that have been trying to contain China. And this time he directly called out the US.
Okay. And tell us about the National People's Congress, which is underway right now. It's potentially another big moment for Xi Jinping to further consolidate his power. So what's happening at the Congress?
These are government meetings. So there were big Communist Party meetings last October. A whole slate of new leaders in the party were appointed. Now they're going to get their positions in the government this week. So there are a number of votes to restructure the state government and also important ministerial appointments that are going to happen this Friday and Saturday. One of those appointments is president. So Xi Jinping is widely expected to be officially confirmed as president of China for a third term. That's not unprecedented, but that's unusual. It's been a while since a leader stayed in power as long as Xi Jinping has. And all the restructuring that's happening is in line with some of the technology priorities that the government set. So trying to develop its own semiconductor industry, for example, and appointing engineers and scientists to key posts that are being realigned with political priorities.
And China's economy growing slowly. There's been the tumultuous turnaround of the zero COVID policy. What are the headwinds that the party and the government face as they look at the year ahead?
They've really got to stimulate the economy. So at the beginning of these political meetings, China's outgoing premier said the country was going to aim for around 5% GDP growth this year. That's a direct quote, around 5%. So they're hedging a little bit, and that's lower than most analysts expected. They need to, most crucially, stimulate domestic consumer spending. That was way down last year because of COVID controls and the fact that most people were just locked up in their own apartments and they couldn't go to work and they had no money to spend. Mm-hmm. And they're also trying to stimulate the real estate sector and get investment back up, both foreign and domestic.
Okay. And Emily, we started by talking about the rhetoric. Even here in Washington, there's been more than we've heard previously. There's talk of a new Cold War with China, words like containment. Does the Chinese Communist Party also see the relationship with the US as entering this new, maybe darker phase?
Oh, they already see the relationship with the U.S. entering a dark phase, and it's getting worse. And that's why you hear such heated rhetoric this week at these annual political meetings. I think Cold War is not completely accurate. It might describe certain qualities to the tension and rivalry between the two countries, certainly a clash of values, as well as competition over technology supremacy. But it's not a Cold War in the sense that these two countries will ever be able to operate independently of each other. I mean, for example, the Chinese Communist Party wants the economy to grow in China, but part of the reason why it's not growing as fast as they want this year or recovering as quickly is because U.S. demand for Chinese goods has dropped as we're dealing with inflation and things like that. So the two countries are inextricably linked while at the same time competing with each other. And so it's not particularly a Cold War, but there is a lot of elements of competition.
And let's just talk briefly about Taiwan. There have been reports that House Speaker Kevin McCarthy might visit the island. Now we're hearing Taiwan's president Tsai Ing-wen might come to the US. What can you tell us about that?
Well, people in Taiwan from both parties, the current party in power, which is more pro-Taiwan identity, and the opposition party, the main one, which is more China-friendly, both of them had actually been saying, please don't come. Last time, if you remember, when former Speaker Nancy Pelosi came to the island, China responded with weeks of military exercises encircling all of Taiwan. And so for all these reasons, Taiwan has quietly asked the U.S. to find some other way. And the neat alternative is for Tsai to do a stopover in California instead and meet Kevin McCarthy there. Though McCarthy has said this week that even though he's meeting Tsai in the U.S., he does not rule out a future visit on top of that to Taiwan.
NPR's Emily Feng in Taipei, Taiwan. Emily, thank you.
Thanks, Deepa.